It's Border Crossings with Larry London from VOA 1.
Hello and welcome to Studio 4. We're live on Border Crossings. My name's Larry London. Shell are on tour promoting a brand new album, Just Crazy Enough. We've got the sisters in the house and we'll check them out in just a minute. Let's listen to a cut off the new CD. Here are Shell on Border Crossings.
Fears are running wild, dragging me mile after mile. Think it's time I take the reins, play the hero for a change. 'Cause I'm stronger than my fears. Over fields of
I'm Larry London. Welcome to Border Crossings. We've got a great program for you coming up on today's show as we welcome into our studios a group of sisters who are on tour for their sophomore album, Just Crazy Enough. We welcome to DC Shell, who are in our studios and on the road. Welcome, girls.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Very nice to have you. I understand as you got to DC and you got to VOA, you couldn't find a place for the whale. Is that what I hear? That's the story I got?
I guess it's too big to drive around the Capitol.
It was a whale. It didn't fit down our streets.
Exactly.
And so you're touring in a van, in a huge, giant van.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And this has kind of been part of what you guys do for a while now. You've even affectionately named your van The Whale.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Or Purgatory.
Purgatory.
Just depending on the tour.
Ahab's Bane.
Ahab's Bane.
Now, it's unusual to have a group of sisters, you know, four sisters, who all decided that they wanted to work together. Because it's not enough that you live together, you grew up together, and now you decided you want to actually make a career together. How's that all going for you guys? Is that an easy thing to do, to work with your siblings?
Yeah. I mean, we were all homeschooled, so it kind of fell into place where we were around each other all the time, and our parents were like, you guys are going to be best friends, and it just kind of worked out that way.
Indoctrinated, you know, from the beginning.
And I heard Dave Stewart, you know, from the Eurythmics fame, is a producer of your album, your latest album, and he said you rehearse more than any other band that he knows because you've grown up together and lived together and done this for many, many years.
Yeah, that's probably not true, as flattering as it is and as much as we'd like to believe that. But Dave's worked with some incredible people. He's just being, I think he's just being nice.
I don't know.
We spend a lot of time together.
We do.
Now, what's the writing process like for a group of sisters? I mean, is this a collaboration? Is this one person does the writing for the melodies and another does the lyrics? Or how does the, what's the process like for you guys?
Yeah, usually, do you want to answer or do you want me to jump in?
You can jump in.
Right, so usually Eva will have at least an idea for a song that she'll bring to us, but a lot of the time she'll have the lyrics and the music written, like chords and melody. She'll bring that to us. We listen, kind of get our ideas about it, and then start to orchestrate around what she's created. And she'll have some ideas about where she might want it to go. She does a lot of producing. So the past two albums we've made have been co-produced mm-hmm. with Shell and Brent Mayer, and then obviously Dave Stewart on the last one. But she'll have her idea. We've got our idea. We kind of meet somewhere in the middle, and then that's a Shell song.
Mm-hmm. And you started off as instrumentalists. You regard yourself primarily as instrumentalists. So have you always been singing, I mean, together?
No, it's strange. That started so much later. I didn't start singing until I was 16. And I think we all started around that time, like, to really sing together. Mm-hmm. But it was intimidating at first. I think especially for me when I was young, I was such a bad singer. I thought, I don't ever want to like subject anybody to this.
Yep. Especially your sisters.
Your father's also in the music business, or yeah. was. I don't know if he still is, but that's yeah. kind of, was he the inspiration for you guys to decide to do this?
Definitely. I mean,
go ahead. Oh, no, I was just going to say he was definitely very encouraging, and so is our mother. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's been a singer-songwriter and fingerstyle guitarist for years. Mm-hmm. And he hasn't played out much lately, but he was very encouraging and our mom was very encouraging, playing us lots of classic rock and classical music. And mm-hmm. just, yeah, they really wanted us to thrive.
We were raised on the Beatles and Led Zeppelin, so, you know.
Yeah, I read that in hippies. The Marx Brothers, too. That's real old school. That's black and white.
Yeah,
So that's kind of interesting for, you know, a family from Colorado. And then and now you call, where, Tennessee home?
Half the time, yeah. We travel so much, it doesn't really feel like we have a home anymore. Mm-hmm. Just a van.
We live in a van. The life of a musician. But you're having fun.
Oh, yeah.
And that's all that matters. And I also read where you had been signed to a major label, and one of you referred to it as a witness protection program or something.
Yes.
And so you got out of that.
The artist protection program.
The artist protection mm-hmm. program.
Yeah, no, it was actually a really great experience for us. You know, we were on the label for a couple years, and it just wasn't working out, so we, you know, parted ways amiably and released our first album, Shell, mm-hmm. and then just released our second one. Mm-hmm.
So when that kind of thing happens, when you get a divorce from a record company, from a major label, is it over? I mean, the creative artistic differences and when things like that happen, do they want to label you or put you in a format box? And you guys seem like you're so much more than any one format.
Yeah, it did kind of come down to a genre and a format because they were originally a country label and mm-hmm. then they were thinking about putting us on a pop label that was like their sister label, and pop was kind of like, but they aren't pop, and country was like, well, they aren't country. Mm-hmm. So they're like, we don't know what to do with you guys. We're like, can we just leave?
yeah, that's fine.
So it was really chill. Like, we don't know what to do with your with your genre because you don't really have one, so we're just gonna, you can go.
Do you have a name for what type of music you create?
Currently, we're using alternative.
Alternative.
Yes. That seems to fit the album the best.
All right. Well, now you've created a lot of curiosity. The audience wants to hear you guys live, so we're going to ask if you wouldn't mind performing a song.
Of course.
Well, that would be great. Actually, they came here to perform, and they're ready to perform, so we welcome Shell live to the world here on The Voice of America.
Thank you.
And play the record backwards now. If you catch my drift, then listen till the needle lifts. You could be my baby, you could be my baby. You sing just crazy in love. You could be my baby, you could be my baby. Sing just crazy enough to love. seem just crazy enough to love.
Sounding great. Wow, Shell, they're standing around the world. They're cheering for you right now. You can't see them, but I can hear them in Africa and Asia and all around the world who are just meeting Shell for the very first time. Not usual to have a violin, a mandolin, and a beatboxer in one group, and it's just crazy enough.
Nailed it.
You like that? You like that? Now, okay, so Shell, the acronym for all of your names, you know, that's very creative. First of all, introduce yourselves for the benefit of our TV audience, radio audience.
Well, I'm Sarah. I'm playing the violin.
Hannah on the keyboards and vocals.
Eva on mandolin.
Liza on vocals, percussion.
And I'm sure this you had other names, too, that you were considering, I would imagine. Or was it just Shell? I mean, that's it. It was nothing else on the table.
It kind of was, yeah. It came together really naturally, mm-hmm. and we just kept it since we were very small. Mm-hmm. So we're like, let's start a girl gang and call it Shell.
When did you start? Because you're each, I think, 5 years apart. Is that right?
5 years between the four of us.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're all a couple years apart. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I mean, we've been playing music together since we were really little. And then when we got into college, that's when we signed with the record label. So of course we dropped out of college to pursue that, and that's been so it's just been about 4 years that we've been doing this professionally.
And did you grow up dreaming this is what you wanted to do, or did you have other dreams, a doctor or something like that?
I think we all had things we'd like to aspire to, but the music just ended up coming, at least for me, it came really naturally and it all fell together really mm-hmm. easily.
And who's the youngest in the group?
That would be me.
That's you, huh?
Mm-hmm. Liza.
Do you feel you get taken advantage of by your older sisters?
Wow, this is getting heavy fast.
Don't give her any ideas.
Don't give her any ideas, huh?
I mean, they don't let me have my own bed. I sleep on the floor. I'm in a cage in the back of the van.
You have to serve them, take care of them.
Yeah, they make me carry all the heavy things.
Which, where's my water?
Where's your water? So this tour, this is a United States tour. Do you tour outside of the United States? Have you been outside of the United States? I read somewhere about Amsterdam. You filmed a video on a roof in Amsterdam?
Mm-hmm. We were in Europe in the fall, and we had a couple days off. So, of course, we went to Amsterdam and found a rooftop and filmed a music video for our song Rooftop. Mm-hmm. But we were just in Germany for 2 weeks, last month. And, we're going over there all the time. We love it. Mm-hmm.
And what's the response from the fans there when you perform there?
Germany's been really amazing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have a great time over there.
They're great listeners. Oh, and they'll stand there and enjoy the music. Like, they come to listen, and they're not standing there on their phones or, like, taking it in through their phone. They're, like, they're engaged.
Right, right.
It's really cool.
And you've done big festivals, and you've done small venues. Mm-hmm. Do you have a preference? Do you like the 50,000 people crowds? Do you like the smaller, more intimate settings? What do you like better as far as your performances go?
They both kind of have their unique, I don't know, elements of excitement. But mm-hmm. I think for me, it's the clubs. Like when you just have a completely packed club and you just, it's a very different energy that I think feels a lot closer because mm-hmm. everybody's so packed in. And it's just, you kind of feel everybody there with you.
Yeah. I saw a video with a symphony behind you.
Yes. That was cool.
Yeah.
That was an we've done that a couple times. The first time though was in Indianapolis, and I think at the rehearsal I'm pretty sure I wasn't the only one, but we were up there, and when the symphony came in, I just started crying. There's just nothing like having your music orchestrated and then having that kind of power behind you. It was pretty intense. But yeah, we've done it. We did it in Colorado and Boulder at Chautauqua, and same thing, like just an absolutely bucket list item, you know, like check that off. It was great.
Now, when you mentioned bucket list, so is there a highlight for you so far? I imagine each one of you has a different highlight experience, a different one particular event that stands out so far in your career, in your journey. What would that be? I mean, you could share different ones. I'd love to hear what the highlight's been for each one of you.
I know, I'm curious too.
Well, was this last year? Yeah, last year we played Red Rocks, so I know that was a big highlight for all of us because we love that venue, and man, they take such good care of their artists, and we were backstage looking around like, wow, Sting played here. Look, Emmylou Harris.
The Beatles played there.
Yeah.
Paul McCartney said Shell played here. I mean, he said the same thing.
I would say Red Rocks, too. That was the one I was going to say, because it's a hometown thing, too, and really sweet hometown crowd. It was, I put out so much energy on that show, I, like, got sick the next day, you know?
Really?
Gave it all.
Gave it all.
And how about you?
You know, there was a show that we did that I still think about today. Usually I wear a top hat, and it's sort of like a symbol for, you know, dreaming and living out the things that you're passionate about. And we had a fan contact us before we were doing this particular show. It was a small coffee shop in Pennsylvania. And he said, you know, I'm coming to your show. But he, what was the disease he had? Because he was dying. He had lung cancer.
Well, he had cancer, and he had, like, lost his vocal cords, so he had a voice box.
Mm-hmm. It was a rare form, but he was, you know, he was terminally ill. And he reached out and he said one of the last things before he passed on was that he really wanted to come and see this show. And so he came out, and there's a particular song we do called The Man Who Was the Circus. And on that song, I usually take my hat off and throw it out into the audience and, you know, just kind of like passing it on. And for this particular show, I saw the gentleman out there, and we'd, you know, spoken a little bit beforehand, and we kind of stopped them at that point in the song, and I just walked off the stage and gave him the hat, and like walking towards him, you know, it's like everything. I kind of got tunnel vision, and I was shaking, and I got there and I gave him the hat, and he kind of had tears in his eyes, and then I had tears in mine, and like that, I'll never forget that, you know.
I see it moves you. I can see now, even hearing the story, how it moves you.
I know, I'm like, okay, keep it together. Yeah. It was amazing, but that's probably the highlight.
Well, that's great that you have such a special relationship with your fans.
Yeah.
I mean, that's very important. And
our fans are amazing. We feel really, really lucky to get to do what we do.
That's what separates good musicians from great musicians, is those that have a relationship with their fans and value that relationship. And so good on you, as they say in the UK. But we're glad to have Shell here. We're going to talk more about their creative juices, and there are a lot of creative juices. You guys do things very creatively. But first, I'll ask if you do another song for us.
We'd love to. Yeah.
What's this one called?
Moonshine. Yes.
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 Sweet. This is a song called Moonshine Hill, and it's inspired by a mason jar full of moonshine that we found in the middle of Missouri while we were paying for gas.
Did you drink it?
When we got home, we did.
Well, right.
I think we ended up trying a couple of the cherries, and we were like, "Wow, this could have fueled our van."
Powerful
I'm not
stuff.
Sure that I want to ingest this.
We bought the jar, and he was like, "Hey, I have this song idea," and we wrote the song in the car, so on our way to Colorado.
I mean, it was 2 a.m., so there was really little else to do.
That's right. But consume moonshine. What else do you do?
There was no consuming moonshine in the van, though.
While you were driving.
All right. You ready?
Baby, I don't need it. And while you're gone, I'll be walking miles, miles. Gotta get back to the hills where I first tasted sweet water from the well. Don't be all sugar and no spice, there's no plan. I got plenty of virtues, one glass of cane.
Only be thunder from Shining Hill, hotter than whiskey.
river, sink or swim. Well, I was baptized in that tub, Jim. Mama raised me, always pray, and take your medicine at the end of the day. Don't be all sugar and no spice, there's no cream. I've got plenty of virtue, there's one vice I can't keep. I only drink thunder from China.
Shell Live here on the Voice of America and on tour right now for Just Crazy Enough, album number 2. How is this album different than the last album?
Well, the big difference is working with Dave. You know, in the studio, we really, really enjoyed that process because he just brought the crazy out in us, literally. That was part of why we chose the title that we did, but he's fantastic, you know. But definitely, generally, when we were producing the first album, we worked with Brent Mayer, and he's wonderful. We just go in and record all of the instruments and at the studio in Nashville called the Blue Room. And he's great at capturing our sound. So for this record, we did the same thing. But then we sent these tracks to Dave in L.A., and he and his engineer did a bunch of programming, you know, with analog synths and drum machines and things. And so they would send us back about 40 tracks that they had orchestrated to augment the sound that we'd sent them. And then Brent and Charles would pull it up on the desk in Nashville, and all of a sudden you'd have 80 tracks, you know. And it was like wading through that and, you know, really looking at what the potential for a song was. So much fun. I think it's the most thrilling thing we've done in the studio yet, because it, you know, we had about half the album written, and then we were writing the other half as we were touring last year. And so it opened up our own imaginations as far as like what this album could be and what we could do with our sound. So it's been really exciting.
Go ahead. No, you first.
I was going to say, it was just like Christmas every time they would send us something back, because you were always like, what did they come up with this time? And then, you know, we'd tweak it and send it back and, you know, out back and forth. It was really, really fun.
Well, that's great that, you know, you are receptive to change with your music, because a lot of artists are like, don't mess with my music. This is mine, my baby, and you're messing with my baby.
Well, you've got to, I think as an artist, you have to grow. I mean, for me, that's kind of the worst imaginable scenario, is that I wouldn't have the room or the open-mindedness to kind of like grow and explore. I think it was John Paul Jones who said, the bands who succeed are the bands who continually reinvent themselves. And for me, like a classic example of that is the Beatles. You look throughout their whole career, in particular when they heard the Beach Boys' Pet Sounds, and Paul was like, I knew, he used those words, I knew, we had to reinvent ourselves. And so they came up with Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. So I look at that and I think, you know, as an artist, of course, you're going to always want to explore and evolve.
Mm-hmm. And you're just getting started. 2 albums, I mean, this is early in your journey. And so the videos, I mean, you create your own ideas. You guys come together and say, let's do this. And I mean, putting a piano in the river, I mean, how did that come along?
That was her idea.
That was Eva's idea. We found a free piano on Craigslist and gutted it, so it was a little lighter, but we still had to, I mean, we bribed like 4 boys to put it in the river with cookies and beer. You know, there's no way we were going to get it in there. But it's Eva and I come up with a lot of the ideas together and then direct them and film them and edit them and, you know, hire people to help us. And yeah, it's super fun, but it's a big collaborative process.
Well, that's great.
It falls on her shoulders mostly, though, because she's our videographer and our editor, and it's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. But she does a great job. We're really happy because in the beginning, wouldn't have had music videos if we didn't have her, because we couldn't afford anybody, you know, to pay anybody to make them.
Well, they sound great. I mean, the songs and the videos that I've seen online, and you have millions of people watching them, and great reviews so far. USA Today and Huffington Post, mm-hmm. and your stuff's been on MTV and a number of other places. So that's got to make you feel great.
Yeah, it feels really good.
Yeah. I just think it feels like we're doing, I always look at it like, okay, good, we're doing our job. You know, it doesn't necessarily make me feel like, oh, yes. It's just like, okay, good.
It doesn't make you feel like you've arrived.
No, not at all.
Well, if you weren't making music, what do you think you'd be doing? I mean, that's a question for each one of you.
I probably still would be traveling the world and like pursuing, I don't know. I say I'm an adventurer first, and so anytime we're out doing stuff, we're always like, hey, well, let's try this, or like, you know, Hannah went rock climbing the other day, just stuff like that, where we're always like, what can we do while we're in these places? And I think that I'd probably still be pursuing a career that made that a possibility for me.
Well, growing up in Colorado, you got lots of rocks to climb there.
I know, right?
Beautiful water area. Oh, it's absolutely gorgeous part of America.
Mm-hmm. I think I'd be a small-scale sustainable farmer. I'm definitely more domestic, and if I had my way, I would stay home. And I love meeting new people, but I love the idea of, you know, understanding more about sustainable farming practices and kind of like continuing to educate people, and especially some of the practices that have been lost over time. Mm-hmm. I'd really like to help restore those in our culture. I think that'd be an amazing, amazing fun thing to do. That is my like plan B after, you know. I'll always do music, but kind of like when I'm done touring, I'm going to have a little farm.
And you made your $100 million, then you go to farming.
I don't know if there's that much money to be made in the music business today or not, but
that's true. Very true. And how about you?
I'm pretty interested in nonprofits. So like right now we're working with an orphanage in Togo, Africa, and we've been helping them raise money. We're still raising money for Grace Orphanage, and they're building a new building and taking in some new kids and putting a security fence around it and everything. So I want to go there. I want to actually see it. Some friends of mine started it. So I love traveling and being involved in raising funds for things like that. So luckily what I love and what I would also love to do kind of work together. Mm-hmm. So
it's perfect that you say that, because we're reaching a large audience in Africa right now, today, as we speak. And you've had a chance to think about what you'd want to do.
Kind of. I mean, I'm the youngest, right?
Yeah, right.
Oh, man. It's really tough to say. I honestly think I'd actually like to go to, like, chef school and start a B&B. So I'm also more the domestic side. But I've also wanted to be, like, a police officer for quite a few years. And I'm also a graphic designer, and I love photography. So there's a lot of things I want to do.
It makes a really good sandwich, so that makes total sense.
I love paninis. I'm, like, obsessed with paninis.
Are you the one who has to cook now for the whole group?
Oh, no. We no, all have, okay. like, our
After
own things.
Interview.
After this interview, yep, yes, she will from
culinary
now on.
Culinary school, huh? Well, there's the kitchen.
It's on my list.
Well, Shell are in our studios. We're lucky to have them here in Washington, D.C. The album is just Crazy Enough. And I know most of the music you do, you've written, you've created yourself. There is a song from Metallica on your album. How did that one sneak by?
Well, it was actually a suggestion from our dad. And not that he's a big metal fan necessarily, but he was driving through Nebraska, and there was a metal station, and it was the only thing coming in. So he heard this song about going off to Never Never Land, and he knows that we're all big Peter Pan fans. So he called me and he's like, I've just heard this great song, you know, you should really look it up. And he told me some of the lyrics, and I Googled it, and I was like, oh, Metallica. And I listened to the song, and I just got like chills on the back of my neck. I loved it so much, and it was so epic. But then as I was like, you know, reading the lyrics, I was thinking, man, you could almost do like a softer, creepy lullaby version of this. So that's where it came from. I just really loved the lyrics in the song, and so I did a bit of an arrangement and played it for the girls, and they really liked it. So we dove in, and we're kind of like, oh, should we put it on the album? Should we not? And at the very end, we decided, like, it, you know, it fit the theme. Mm-hmm. So we stuck it on there.
That's always a hard decision when you write so many songs as to which ones are going to make it, which ones you want. And especially since you have the control now to decide which songs go on your album.
Exactly. Yeah, we let them fight their way to the top.
I like that. Shell is going to perform for us. What are you going to do now, the next song that you've chosen?
I think we'll do the first track off the album. It's a song called Is the Doctor In Today?
Is there a story about this?
Yeah, but usually don't talk about it because then I don't sing very well.
Oh, really? Oh.
So we'll
save the story for after that. We'll finish with the tears.
All right,
here's Shell.
Get
get it together over there.
Hello, is the doctor in today? Would you tell him that I can't recall my name? I've been swinging from the stars so long, not sure where my mind is gone. Safe to say we're never really whole. Tell me, is the fortune teller late? I pawned a lonely life to hear my fate. I've been reaching out into the dark, beating on my quiet heart. Tell me, is anybody there? Is anybody there? Is anybody there? Well, I think I hear a voice calling out in all the noise. Is anybody there? Hello, is the weather man away? Would you tell him?
Song, beautiful song, Shell. Obviously, very difficult for you to sing. There must be, it must be painful. This song, something very personal. I can tell, and I'm not going to force you to tell the story because I see you're struggling to get the words out. But I mean, it's beautiful that you put these songs out there. You really expose yourselves, you know, and put, you know, a lot of heartfelt feeling into your music and into the words and into the songs that you choose for the album. People have to get a copy of this. It's called Just Crazy Enough. What is your website address so that people can find this CD and find you guys and know where you're touring?
Yeah, the best way to go is shellmusic.com, and it's Shell with one L. And our Twitter and our Facebook and Instagram are all up there too, so you can, you know, connect with us because we tweet and Facebook all of our shows. And so, yeah, we'll let people know when we're in town. We're in Vienna, Virginia tonight, and then, you know, continuing the tour from there. So, yep, that's the best way to go.
And you, I'm sure, respond to all the fans. And so lots of touring for the rest of the year. If people want to see you here in the United States, the website's the place to find your schedule. Mm-hmm. And hopefully you'll go and do more shows outside of the U.S. and people can check you out there. And I assume that that schedule will be posted as well. Do you have plans for international touring? Is that in the rest of the year?
It's yeah, it's being sorted, but it'll be up on the website.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And for sharing a part of yourselves, your soul, and being vulnerable. And we appreciate that. Just Crazy Enough is the name of the album. It's Shell. They're on tour and in our studios. You've been watching Border Crossings on VOA TV.
Border Crossings with Larry London on VOA 1.
much to ask for every Sunday. While we're at it, throwing every other day to start. I know people make promises all the time, then they turn right around and break them. And someone cuts your heart open with a knife, now you'll be here. But I could be that guy to heal it over time. And I won't stop until you believe it. Cause baby, you're worth it. So don't act like it's a bad thing to fall in love with me. Cause you might look around and find your dreams come true with me. Spend all your time and your money just to find out that my love was free. So don't act like it's a bad thing to fall in love. Voice you hear tonight, and every other night, for the rest of the nights that there are. And every morning, I just wanna see you staring back at me. Cause I know that's a good place to start. I know people make promises all the time, then they turn right around and break them. And someone cut your heart open with a knife, and you bleed. Oh, I could be that guy to heal it over time. And I won't stop until you believe it. Cause baby, you're worth it. So don't act like it's a bad thing to fall in love with me. Cause you might look around and find your dreams come true with me. Spend all your time and your money just to find out that my love was free. Such a bad thing to fall in love.
Border Crossings with Larry London on VOA 1.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again. Just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today. Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land.
God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say that I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free, and I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Hey folks, this is Lee Greenwood. This is Larry London and me right here on Voice of America.
Well, thank you very much, Lee Greenwood. And that is, of course, Lee's signature song, God Bless the USA, and a request from Abdul Kadir Diwale Hassan, who's listening to us today on Border Crossings. And we also had a song request from Wame Makarios in Botswana, Justin Timberlake, Not a Bad Thing. So thank you very much for the requests. And again, thank you to Shell for coming on the show and joining us for the new album, Just Crazy Enough. And they are lovely and they are talented, and it's a pleasure to have them in the studios. And I hope you enjoyed their music as much as I did. My name's Larry London. Here on Border Crossings, we have another request. This one is from Mikhail in Ghana. And Mikhail wants us to play Three Doors Down on Border Crossings. And this is called Here Without You.
100 days have made me older since the last time that I've saw your pretty face. 1,000 lives have made me colder, and I don't think I can look at this the same. But all the miles that separate disappear now when I'm dreaming of your face. I'm here without you, baby, but you're still on my lonely mind. I think about you, baby, and I dream about you all the time. I'm here without you, baby, but you're still with me in my dreams. And tonight it's only you and me.
You're listening to Larry London.
When you hold me in the street and you kiss me on the dance floor, I wish that it could be like that. Why can't it be like that? 'Cause I'm yours. We keep behind closed doors. Every time I see you, die a little more. Stolen moments that we steal as the curtain falls. It'll never be enough. It's obvious you're meant for me. Every piece of you, it just fits perfectly. Every second, every thought, I'm in so deep. But I'll never show it on my face. But we know this. We got a love that is homeless. Why can't you leave if I was ready to settle down? No, what you play is safe and stay. Girl, you know this. We got a love that is hopeless. Why can't I? Why can't I kiss you on the dance floor? I wish that we could be like that. Why can't we be like that? 'Cause I'm yours, I'm yours. Oh, why can't you?
Border Crossings, they are Little Mix. They won on The X Factor in the UK a few years ago. They're on tour for their latest album, which is called Get Weird. And that is a request from Christy Sayerat, who's listening in Kuwait to Border Crossing's The Secret Love Song, which features Jason Derulo. Jason Derulo has signed a contract with a shoe company called Level 13. He's going to create a new line of shoes. So what he's decided to do is donate his own personal shoe collection that he's got at home, which is 500 pairs of shoes. 500 pairs of shoes. 1,000 shoes, if you're counting. And he's going to donate them. He said to People Magazine, someone who wears a size 10 is going to be very lucky. Going to have a lot of shoes. Little Mix, by the way, just performed at the Summertime Ball for Capital FM in London. They performed last weekend. It was a great show, and the fans were going crazy at Wembley Arena for them, singing every song, every lyric to every song. Thank you, Christy, for that request here on Border Crossings. I do want to say hello before I go to Peterson, Evans, Ambrose, Joseph Tembo, Saidu Muhammad Ali, Jonas Malm, Enan Geshi Caleb, Sayum Workneth. Thank you all for your messages and your requests on our Facebook page. And it's facebook.com/VOA Larry London. If you want to make a request, we'd love to hear from you. Jonas and Tiki Tafari and Jean Fiacre is with us. Men Berry, Charles and Laurel and Togbay. And everybody else who's posted requests and messages. Thank you so much. And again, I want to thank Shell for coming on the show today and joining us on Border Crossings. Wagner, our engineer, and Felicia, our director, and Alex, our intern today. And also Gary and Ted and the rest of the crew who helped put the show together today. Thank you so much for listening to Border Crossings. I'm out of time. I'll see you tomorrow at 1500 Universal. I'm Larry London. This is the VOA 1 Music Network.
Join Larry on Facebook at facebook.com/VOA Larry London.